With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. In the race for Montana's lone seat in the U.S. House, the candidates are employing two very different campaign styles. Democrat Kathleen Williams is aggressively reaching out to the media and hosting a lot of public events. Her Republican opponent, Congressman Greg Gianforte, is seeking the news media's attention less. To get perspective on the House race, I recently spoke with Tom Lutie, who reports on politics, agriculture, and energy for Lee Newspapers of Montana. He says Montana campaigns have changed a lot since he started covering them in 1994.
I think the relationship, you know, the candidates have with the press, or at least the way that candidates, you know, interact with the press has changed a lot. And part of that has to do with the fact that candidates now have so many other outlets to get their message out. It's rare anymore to just speak directly to a politician or speak directly to an elected official.
When I started in journalism before the internet, candidates relied a lot more on the news media to get their message out or to make people aware of them. Do they even need reporters anymore?
Well, I think they do. Obviously, that's changed. I mean, and you see that in everything from email to social media, you know, the targeting of voters is much better. So you can sort of effectively, as a candidate, reach the people who are most likely to hear your message and respond and to vote for you. That's one thing. But when you're doing that, when you've sort of honed your audience down that much, you've also honed it down to the point that you're not having kind of that general conversation that you used to when you had to really reach them through the press.
When I started reporting and started covering campaigns, I just sort of assumed that you really need the media and you're going to reach out to reporters all the time and get as much publicity as you can. That's not actually the case, it seems.
Absolutely not. You know, as campaigning has become a better science, there's a lot more focus on, you know, impressions. You'll hear a lot of campaign managers will talk about impressions and just sort of, you know, getting so many exposures of their client before the public. And they're really not talking about media appearances, but just TV advertising, radio, and now obviously social. That's changed things quite a bit.
One of the reasons I wanted to check in with another reporter who's covering the U.S. House race is because of something Congressman Greg Gianforte said in an interview with our reporter Nikki Ouellet on August 29th.
This month I've had 33 campaign events, helped in Dillon, their new playground, helped them spend an afternoon building the playground, got the great pleasure of being the grand marshal at the Bozeman Stampede, danced in the powwow at the Crow Fair. So my job is to be out and be accessible, and that's what I've been doing.
I was surprised to hear Mr. Gianforte say that because a week before that interview, I asked his campaign for a list of campaign events, and they never replied. So why would a campaign hold 33 events in a month but not tell the media about them?
If you look at a lot of the things that they do, I don't know if a lot of them are media worthy. They frequently do things that we don't cover.
Right, and there are no, you know, it's not like there's a written set of rules that candidates have to follow, like they have to do X number of public events or,
right,
or any public events whatsoever. And
right.
My experience with this campaign is the Gianforte campaign and the Williams campaign are very different in terms of their public outreach. And if you're just a regular person and you want to attend a campaign event for one of these candidates, they're not listed on Mr. Gianforte's Facebook page. If you go to his campaign homepage, there's not like a list of events there. And that's very different than the Williams campaign, which seems to be holding a lot of public events and, you know, trying to get the word out there to get as many people as possible. Williams has a lot more incentive to hold public events and try to get coverage in the media,
right,
because she has a lot less name recognition. And, you know, it's always an uphill battle for challengers versus incumbents. That's how I see it. Does that jibe with what you're seeing?
In looking around to kind of get a feel for where Gianforte may have been just in the last few days. I mean, I've got him in Havre for 2 days. I've got him in Chinook, Glasgow. I've got him at a tribal leadership meeting in Fort Peck. I've got him in Sydney, Montana. Whether or not those things are advertised well, I don't think they probably are advertised well. But at the same time, just the other day, because this issue comes up a lot in our office, as we talk about, you know, sort of how much notice we're actually given for things, because everything's awfully short-term notice anymore. I just, in my Outlook mailbox, just did a search for email under for planning purposes only, And it's staggering how many things come up. It's not just for Greg Gianforte. That's for our entire delegation.
When you see that line at the top that says, for planning purposes only, what does that mean?
They're asking you not to broadcast it. They're giving you a heads up because they would like you there to cover their event. But they're also asking that you not sort of make that event public in advance to everybody else. You know, Tester had an announcement for a major endorsement. That was for planning purposes only. And you kind of look at that and say, well, I don't see why, you know, why anybody couldn't have shown up for that. But that's certainly, you know, something we see. And we see it a lot.
To me, it's a question of risk and reward. You can potentially benefit a lot by having a lot of people come to your event or a reporter writing a story about you. That can be good for your campaign, but you're also taking a risk that opponents might come to your public meeting and maybe protest there or steal the show, or a reporter might ask you questions that you're not comfortable answering, or you might not give a good answer to.
Oh, absolutely. All elected officials mitigate risk.
If we're comparing the Greg Gianforte campaign and the Kathleen Williams campaign, which candidate do you think has more at risk or has more to gain or lose from having a lot of public events or talking to the media?
I think it's all gain for Kathleen Williams. You know, on her Facebook page, for example, just in August, she had 19 events that were mostly meet and greet, you know, events, but really kind of to open the doors and, you know, to everyone. As opposed to, you know, the kind of event where she's, you know, sitting down with a group of supporters or people who were, you know, really sort of representative of one issue to sort of have a roundtable discussion. No, I mean, she's out there probably more than everybody else, willing to meet with everyone. And she should be. She should be because she's the least known of anybody, and she has the least amount of money. You know, she doesn't have a lot of money. She has a lot of time, and she really needs to spend that time as much as she can, introducing herself to the public.
And again, my impression is it's not a question of, well, she's doing it right or is doing it wrong or she's a better candidate because of that strategy. It's just, for her campaign, that strategy makes sense. And for Mr. Gianforte, why wouldn't that strategy make sense for him?
You have to wonder, with Gianforte, how much of that he actually needs. This is the third general election for Gianforte in 3 years. That's something few candidates have ever experienced. Voter fatigue, obviously, is a real possibility. The other part about it is that he's already put forward millions of dollars in sort of getting his name out to the public. And so, you know, when you're talking about the risk, you say, okay, how much more do I need to get my name out? I think he's probably at the point of diminishing returns. You know, Kathleen Williams, I think, has a lot of energy behind her. She doesn't have a lot of money. Her party has given her minimal support. I have to wonder, if Kathleen Williams had $6 million, if she had, say, Rob Quist money, if she would be out there doing as many just sort of open door meet and greet events as she is. It's nice to campaign like that. We like the idea of meeting politicians face to face. I mean, this goes back to, you know, Max Baucus and his ride across Montana, right, to introduce himself to the state. But there's also limits to that. Right. I mean, there are limits to that. If you're meeting voters eight at a time, or even two dozen at a time, at the end of the day, your reach is being measured in the hundreds and in the thousands, and not the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands.
Well, Tom Lutie, right. Thanks so much for talking with us at Montana Public Radio.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Eric.
Tom Lutie covers politics, agriculture, and energy for Lee Newspapers of Montana. I'm Eric Whitney, Montana Public Radio.